Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
During tonight's debate, each candidate was asked which country they would most want to repair relations with. Kirsten Gillibrand chose Iran, while Marianne Williamson chose Narnia.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. This week marked the official kickoff of the 2020 presidential campaign season, with the first Democratic primary debate held across Wednesday and Thursday. Late Night went live both nights so that Seth could give his response to the debates. First, here's a closer look at Wednesday's debate.
10. Count them, 10 Democratic candidates squared off tonight in the first debate of the presidential campaign. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. Donald Trump is constitutionally incapable of sharing the spotlight with anyone, and so is 10 Democrats prepared to take the stage for their first primary debate tonight. He went to something called the Faith and Freedom Conference to gurgle up a bunch of old man nonsense.
We're saying Merry Christmas again, do you notice? Remember? Remember? I usually save that for November, December, but I was just thinking they were all taking it down off the department stores, everything. You'd see a big red. They'd say Happy Holidays. No Merry Christmas. They're saying Merry Christmas again. It's very interesting. Our president may not be the best at the Bible. He may not have read it 2,000 times, but he's the best for us. My wife watched. I said, you have to see this. It's a great invention. It's called TiVo. Okay? I don't want to be advertising, but, you know, it's like better than television, because television, you never see it again. With TiVo, you play it back. I played it back.
Oh, my God. Get me off this cruise ship. Is this a presidential speech or bingo night? This guy shouldn't be standing behind a presidential seal. He should be wandering down the hallway of a group home with a nurse chasing after him screaming, Donald, your gown is on backwards. I'm sorry. You just heard about TiVo? Trump's brain is so permanently stuck in 1999. Have you heard of this new food they just came out with? It's called Go-Gurt. It's a game changer. Trump was probably more off-kilter than usual today with the Democratic debate looming and the news that Robert Mueller has agreed to testify in public before Congress next month, and it clearly got in Trump's head because he called up Fox Business News to ramble about Mueller and accuse him of a totally made-up crime. Trump was referring to unearthed text messages between two FBI agents who were having an affair, or at least I think that's what he was referring to.
Robert Mueller, they worked for him, and the two lovers were together, and they had text back and forth.
Well, how come we haven't seen it all? I mean, you did
because
you gave William Barr the authority
Mueller
to
Mueller terminated them illegally. He terminated the emails. He terminated all of the stuff between Strzok and Page. You know,
wow.
They sung, you've never seen. Robert Mueller terminated their text messages together. He terminated them. They're gone. And that's illegal.
Deleted! The word you're looking for is deleted. My God, man, go back to watching TiVo. And now you're accusing Robert Mueller of a crime? Look at this guy. I doubt he's ever jaywalked in his life. Robert Mueller gives speeding tickets by chasing after cars on foot. And no matter what you think of the Democrats, this is why it was refreshing to see sane human beings speaking in coherent sentences about actual policies on national television for a change. Now, this was just the first of two debates, with 10 more candidates scheduled to debate on Thursday. In fact, there are now a total of 24 Democrats running for president. Look at how many people are on that screen. There are so many people, you didn't even notice that one of them is Guy Fieri. And he's definitely more qualified than Donald Trump because, need I remind you, he's the mayor of Flavortown. Great bowling alleys. Terrible schools. Of course. We'll cut out that. Cut out the Flavortown joke I fought for all day. Live, of course, with 10 people on the stage, the candidates knew it would be tough to stand out, which is why they were all preparing in different ways to make their case as concise and effective as possible.
Senator Elizabeth Warren and her 2020 Democratic rivals are very busy right now because they're prepping for the first pair of Democratic debates. Warren has focused on boiling down her positions, her policy positions, to try to fit the time constraints. Senator Amy Klobuchar has spent time watching the 2016 debates to see how President Trump and his GOP rivals stood out in that crowded field.
Wait, you're studying Trump's debate performances to see how he stood out? Which ones did you watch? Did you study the tape of that time Trump and Ben Carson missed their cues and got stuck in the hallway leading the debate stage? That is a case where he stood out literally. And it really is amazing that out of everyone on the stage, the two guys who ended up in the federal government are the ones who turned a presidential debate into an escape room. Help us, Clue Master, we need a hint. Seriously, what lessons can you learn from Trump's debate performances? Okay, just remember, yell as loud as you can, limit your vocabulary to four words, and if you get lost, just remember to act natural and stare directly into the camera like you're having your portrait drawn. Now, before the debate, the candidates also showed up to check out the debate stage, like Ohio Congressman Tim Ryan, who got caught sporting a very casual look.
2020 contender Tim Ryan is on the debate stage right now doing his walkthrough. That's going to be happening through the course of the day. We do have a presidential candidate right with us, however. There's Tim Ryan wearing his cap backward.
Hey, guys, there aren't cameras here now, right? Did you get confused and think this was your office softball game? You don't look like a candidate. You look like you should be pounding some Sam Adams tall boys at a Red Sox game. Now, say what you will about the Democrats, most of them seem to enjoy talking about policies, and the campaign so far has been incredibly substantive. Senator Kamala Harris has a plan for cash payments to middle-class households. Senator Bernie Sanders rolled out a plan to cancel all student debt, and Senator Elizabeth Warren was so excited to discuss her plans to tax the wealthy at a town hall that she could hardly contain herself.
Thank you, Senator Warren, for being here. How do you plan to make sure the extremely rich pay their fair taxes?
Whoa!
Oh! Taxes! That question was Elizabeth Warren's Mardi Gras. Asking Warren that question is like walking up to Chris Cuomo at a party and going, "Hey, you know anything about CrossFit?" And that excitement for talking about policy seems to have caught on because while the polls have stayed mostly flat so far, Warren's stock has been rising, and that's caught the attention of both the Democratic frontrunner Joe Biden and President Trump.
New polling shows Warren's economic message is resonating with voters. In the latest NBC News Wall Street Journal poll, 26% of Democratic primary voters say they're enthusiastic about her candidacy. That's a 6-point bump from last month. It might explain why Biden's team is also reportedly getting a little worried about her rise. And President Trump's campaign is zeroing in on the threat that she could pose.
Oh, come on. Donald Trump doesn't zero in. If anything, he zeroes out. And especially can't imagine him zeroing in on Elizabeth Warren. For one thing, Warren literally did an interview where she was running to catch a train at Penn Station. Can you imagine if Trump was late for a train? Forget answering questions. Mike Pence would have to carry him on his back like a tired 4-year-old. So with Warren, the obvious standout Coming into this debate, the other candidates were looking for ways to shine, and former Texas Congressman Beto O'Rourke settled on a strategy of going bilingual right out of the gate.
This economy has got to work for everyone. And right now, we know that it isn't. And it's going to take all of us coming together to make sure that it does. Necesitamos incluir cada persona en el éxito de esta economía.
I mean, I knew he was going to bust out his Spanish. I just didn't know it would be that quickly. Remember, Beto, you only have one bullet, so don't fire until you see the whites of their bang! Also, check out Cory Booker's face when it cuts to him during Beto's answer.
Necesitamos incluir cada persona en nuestra democracia. Cada votante necesitamos...
Now you might think... You might think that's of a face of a guy thinking, I can't believe you're pandering by speaking Spanish, but it's actually the face of a guy thinking, oh, man, I was going to do that.
La situación ahora es inaceptable. Es de presidente ha atacado, ha demonizado los inmigrantes. Es inaceptable. Voy a cambiar este.
Not only do I applaud them speaking Spanish, you just know everyone in tomorrow's debate who doesn't speak Spanish is going to spend the whole day cramming. I think the all Americans want answered. The question they want answered is, ¿dónde está mi gato? Now, Beto has been struggling in the polls despite the national fame he gained from his Senate campaign against Ted Cruz, but he was still head and shoulders above some rivals in name and face recognition, like this guy.
Congressman Delaney, do you agree?
I think we need to do real things to help American workers and the American people.
Okay, quick question. Who are you? You look like you were supposed to be in a lawn care commercial during the break, but they just accidentally let you stay. And then there was Tim Ryan, the Ohio congressman, who seemed maybe slightly surprised that he got a question.
Congressman Ryan, President Trump, and you just referred to him, promised that manufacturing jobs were all coming back to places like your home state of Ohio. Can you make that same promise?
Yes, I believe you can.
Tim Ryan always looks like his dog just talked. Rusty, did you just say good morning? Then the debate moderators gave the candidates a chance to differentiate themselves with a key policy question. Who would abolish private health insurance? And only a few raised their hands.
Who here would abolish their private health insurance in favor of a government-run plan? Just a show of hands to start off with.
Not only did Warren raise her hand, but check out New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio. He's got to be so happy he raised his hand when Warren did. It's like when you're taking the SATs and you peek at the valedictorian's test to make sure she had the same answer. And de Blasio clearly sensed an opportunity to make a name for himself on the health care issue because after Beto answered the question, de Blasio jumped in and went after him.
Would you replace private insurance?
No. I think the choice is fundamental our ability to get everybody cared for.
Private insurance is not working for tens of millions of Americans. When you talk about the copays, the deductibles, the premiums, the out-of-pocket expenses, it's not working.
That's right. So for those for whom it's not working, they can choose Medicare. For the coronary workers in Nevada who I listen to,
you've got to start by acknowledging the system is not working for people.
Look at those two. They look like stockbrokers who got too drunk at happy hour. It's so weird to watch two guys get into it who are both polling in single digits. It's like watching the New York Jets play guys who got cut from the New York Jets. De Blasio was so eager to get a word in that at one point, as they were cutting the commercial, he started yelling over the moderators.
Put the American people first.
Hey, but wait a minute.
All right, we are out of time. We're up against a hard break, but we will have much more.
Have been serious about
Mayor de Blasio will have wait more. The commercial is coming.
Oh, man, that's so New York. It's like when you're trying to talk to someone as the subway doors are closing. Hey, what'd you call me? What'd you say, pal? Of course, I'm referring to a time when the subway doors in this city closed. So it was a very substantive issue, oriented debate, and after about an hour full of complex policy questions about everything from immigration to gun control to health care, the president decided to weigh in with his own contribution to the debate, tweeting, boring. Oh, I'm sorry. Are you not entertained, Caligula? I'd say we should send you out there to spice things up, but you probably just get stuck in the hallway. This escape room is boring. Also, don't you realize that most Americans are dying for things to be boring for a while? I fantasize about the day I turn on CNN and there's a banner that says, no breaking news. Things were also a little weird when the debate switched over to the second hour for moderators Rachel Maddow and Chuck Todd, who decided to start out with some friendly banter.
Now, the candidates will have 60 seconds to answer, 30 seconds for a follow-up if necessary, and we will be ruthless if necessary.
Yeah, we can do that. Mm-hmm. By the way, hi, Rachel.
Hi, Chuck.
How you doing?
Good.
Hey, guys, we don't need the hellos. We know you know each other. The candidates each get, like, 9 seconds to speak, and you're chatting it up like old college friends who ran into each other at Fuddruckers. It's like they were waiting for somebody to come by and take their order. But then once they got the hellos out of the way, they were ready to go with a smooth transition in the next portion of the debate.
Many of you are calling for a restoration of an assault weapons ban. But even if implemented, there will still be hundreds of millions of guns in this country. Should there be a role for the federal government?
Your other mics are on.
Everybody's mics are on. I think we have a... I heard that, too. That's okay. I think we had a little mic issue in the back.
Control room, we've got contrary
we have the, I think
audio.
We heard... Yeah, we have the audience audio.
What's happening?
We are hearing our colleagues' audio. If the control room could turn off the mics.
Y'all are trying to be the news.
Yeah, if the control room could turn off the mics of our previous moderators, we will.
I think it's the prior moderators.
You know, we prepared for everything.
Guess what, guys?
We did not prepare for this.
We are going to take a quick break. We're going to get this technical situation fixed. We will be right back.
Maybe you guys should have spent more time checking the audio and less time saying hello to each other. I'm surprised Warren didn't bust out a toolkit. I can fix it! And of course, our TV game show host, President, who has nothing to say about policy, had plenty to say about the technical glitch, tweeting NBC News and MSNBC should be ashamed of themselves for having such a horrible technical breakdown in the middle of the debate. Truly unprofessional and only worthy of a fake news organization, which they are. Boring. Hey, man, I wouldn't be tweeting about technical glitches. You think TiVo is new technology? NBC needs better audio equipment. They should have used a Zune. Although you know he was TiVoing that moment multiple times. Melania, get in here and watch Sleepy Chuck Todd get interrupted. Bloop, bloop. But a big question underlying all these policy debates is this. How will you get your agenda passed if there's a Republican Congress? The moderators asked Warren if she had any ideas for dealing with that, and her answer was unequivocal.
Do you have a plan to deal with Mitch McConnell?
I do.
Damn! If Mitch McConnell were capable of feeling human emotion, he'd be terrified right now. That's the moment everyone else wondered, maybe I should just go. That was like when the matriarch of a southern dynasty stands up at the dinner table and says, I've made a decision. When Warren said that, Booker's face got permanently stuck like that, and Tim Ryan's hat flew back onto his head. Everyone was eager to get a word in, like Washington Governor Jay Inslee, who's running a campaign focused primarily on climate change. She tried to get some attention from the moderators and then made it kind of weird.
Thank you, Senator Booker. So Rachel's got the next question.
Hold on. Governor,
next,
you're going to be happy with where we go. Governor Inslee,
just
this next
give
question
us a second.
Is to you. You got me?
Rachel.
You got me?
Oh, my God. What does that mean? I'm keeping an eye on her? He's like the corny dad at the party who wants to make sure everyone's had enough to drink. Chad, I'm watching you, buddy. When that marg's empty, I'm getting you a refill, Chad. Ultimately, tonight's debate showed us that a substantive campaign focused on issues people care about rather than incoherent rambling about Christmas or terminating emails is possible. But it also proved once again that there's a reason Jeopardy has 3 contestants and not 10. Al, call me. I have a final Jeopardy answer. And if you missed tonight's debate, don't worry. The president has a high-tech solution for how you can watch it.
It's a great invention. It's called TiVo.
This has been A Closer Look.
Next, here's a closer look at Thursday's debate.
The second group of Democratic candidates squared off for day 2 of their primary debate. For more on this, it's time for A Closer Look. As this debate was going on, the president was out of the country for the G20 summit, where he's been weighing in with his usual Twitter nonsense. But after he landed in Alaska to meet with troops, he couldn't help but comment to reporters in person.
Good timing. The debate is going on. This is a great time.
What are your expectations for the debate?
I think they're all going to do very poorly.
I'm sorry, but why are we even asking Trump for his take on this? There are a million other questions you can ask him. Don't ask him man-on-the-street stuff. Sir, are you excited for the new Toy Story movie? Besides, what do you think he's gonna say? I'm very excited. I love Elizabeth Warren. And I think Tim Ryan's eyes will look totally normal. Also, you think they're gonna do poorly? Be careful for what you wish for, dude, because judging recent history, doing poorly at debates is a pretty good indicator of future success. Maybe one of the Democrats should take a cue from you and stalk the other nine around the debate stage like an extra from The Walking Dead. Now, as we mentioned yesterday, Elizabeth Warren's rise in the polls has caught the attention of both Democratic frontrunner Joe Biden and Trump, but that hasn't stopped Trump from attacking the other candidates as well, like Biden and Bernie Sanders, as he did in an interview last week.
Who would you prefer as an adversary?
I really, you know, I've been asked that question, honestly. You never know. You never know. I could comment on different ones, but I won't bother too much. I think just a little bit.
Maybe,
Bernie looks like he's had it. Bernie looks crazy, but he always did. But he looks like a tired crazy right now. And Joe Biden, he looks like he's just exhausted.
Oh, I'm sorry. Biden looks exhausted? Whenever you have to stand for more than 5 minutes, you look like you're going to tip over and fall flat on your face. This is what Trump does. Trump projects onto other people things that are true about himself. Bernie's crazy, Biden's exhausted, and don't get me started on John Delaney's weird hair. Now, the debates were sorted into two groups of 10 by random drawing because there are so many candidates running. In fact, in total, there are 24 Democrats running for president. Look at that. There are so many people on the screen, you didn't notice that one of them is Mr. Bean. And he's very... very good at debates because his answers are the shortest. So going into last night's debate, it was basically just Warren and nine other people trying to stand out. And to be fair, a few of them had their moments, but I'm not sure I'd necessarily agree with this assessment of Beto O'Rourke's performance from Beto O'Rourke.
How do you think you did on the stage last night? What grade would you give yourself?
I was really happy with how I did.
Okay, but what grade would you give yourself for last night?
I'd give myself an A.
No, what do you, I mean, I definitely give you an A in freshman Spanish, but I think Cory Booker would disagree. That's the face right there you make. That's the face you make when you see someone trying to cram a suitcase that doesn't fit into the overhead. That's the face you make when a guy gets on the subway with a pet snake around his neck. Is anyone else seeing this? Then there was New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio, who brought a very New York vibe to the debate by getting into confrontations with other candidates and shouting over the moderators during commercial breaks. But he at least found some opportunities to stand out, and apparently MSNBC host Chris Matthews noticed because he praised de Blasio after the debate.
Are you really in this race?
Yes, sir.
I thought tonight for the first time, I'm being blunt.
Yeah.
I felt you were in this fight for real, not just one of the guys at the end of the row. I believe in you tonight.
Thank you.
I think you got in the fight.
It makes sense Chris Matthews would like a candidate who fights. Chris Matthews looks like a guy who fights with the toaster in the break room. Give me back my bagel, you silver bastard! Don't make me put a fork in you! But still, the striking contrast between this first debate and the 2016 GOP debates was just how civil it was. Of course, we all remember the WWE-style cage match that took place 4 years ago between Trump and the rest of the GOP field.
I would not have nominated
you
John
pushed
Roberts.
Him. You pushed
I
him.
Supported
you
him.
You worked with him, and you pushed him. Why
Donald,
do you lie?
Donald,
why adults do you lie?
This little guy has lied so much about my record.
You ever heard of Trump steaks? You ever heard of Trump?
You know what? You know what? Take a look at Trump steaks.
You know, people
so
are
badly.
Actually watching wanna, this.
You don't know what's happening.
Gentlemen.
So far, I'm doing better. You know, you started off over here, Jeb. You're moving over further and further. Pretty soon, you're going to be off the end.
Now, compare that to the relationship between Warren and former Housing Secretary Julian Castro, who had a few of his own standout moments last night. Here's how Warren responded to Castro's performance today.
We're also hearing this morning from both the Warren and Castro camps that Warren sent Castro a text message after last night's debate telling him that he did a good job.
Man, it's amazing how polite the first debate was compared to the 2016 GOP debates. Can you imagine the text Trump sent to Jeb Bush? Nerd. Loser. Hey, loser. Respond to me, loser. No, seriously, I have a question, Jeb. What, Donald? Why are you such a loser? But the other striking thing, and it's crazy that this is even notable, is how truthful the first debate was. CNN reporter Daniel Dale, who's well known for exhaustively cataloging and debunking all of Trump's lies, and even wrote recently that Donald Trump has now said more than 5,000 false things as president, was supposed to go on CNN last night to fact-check the Democratic debate. But then after the debate, he tweeted, well, tonight's candidates were so heavily factual that I will not, in fact, be going on CNN to fact-check them. That's wild. Fact-checking is the only field where Donald Trump can actually say he created more jobs. Can you imagine what CNN's going to be like if a Democrat is president? That place is going to be like Margaritaville. Wolf Blitzer's going to do his show sitting in a hammock drinking a wine cooler. Now, everyone had different ways of preparing for these debates coming into tonight. Biden had attracted the most attention because he's the front runner in the polls, but a lot of his past policies and Senate votes are out of step with many of today's Democratic primary voters, and his rivals have been pouncing on those positions. So Biden was supposedly trying to prepare for those attacks coming into tonight.
Senator Elizabeth Warren and her 2020 Democratic rivals are very busy right now because they're prepping for the first pair of Democratic debates, which are tomorrow night and Thursday night in Miami. And for her part, Warren has focused on boiling down her positions, her policy positions, to try to fit the time constraints. Former Vice President Joe Biden has been studying his own record, preparing for attacks on it.
Man, it's not good when you have to study your own record before a debate. That's like when somebody ghosts you on Tinder and you have to go back and read your conversation to see where you blew it. But we had so much fun. I forgot I said that about her dog. Okay, that's on me. Because that's definitely where it ended. Now, one of the big divides coming into tonight was between progressive candidates in favor of policies like Medicare for All and the more moderate candidates like Biden and former Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper, who has said the Democrats shouldn't veer towards socialism. Hickenlooper was asked tonight about that position. Tonight.
Governor Hickenlooper, let me get you in on this. You've warned that Democrats will lose in 2020 if they embrace socialism, as you put it. You were booed at the California Democratic Convention when you said that. Only one candidate on this stage, Senator Sanders, identifies himself as a Democratic socialist. What are the policies or positions of your opponents that you think are veering towards socialism?
Well, I think that the bottom line is if we don't clearly define that we are not socialists, the Republicans are going to come at us every way they can and call us socialists.
Hey, man, have you met Republicans? They're going to call you socialists anyway. If you go out to dinner with them and tip more than 10%, they'll call you a socialist. Where have you been for the last 10 years? They called President Obama a socialist despite the fact that he is definitely not a socialist. I mean, look at him. You can't be a socialist when you look like you're in a model in an ad for Tag Heuer watches. He looks like he's auditioning for a remake of Jerry Maguire. And then Colorado Senator Michael Bennett also tried to take on Bernie with a dig at his Medicare for All plan.
Bernie mentioned that the taxes that we would have to pay, because of those taxes, Vermont rejected Medicare for All.
It's amazing how Bernie can respond to something with just a face. It's like when you take your iPad out of the dinner table and your grandpa goes, oh, no, 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 the only pads we'll be using are Brillo pads when we wash the dishes the old-fashioned way. And then the moderators asked a question they also asked yesterday. Who would abolish private health insurance? Bernie and Senator Kamala Harris raised their hands, and then it seemed like Biden maybe didn't know whether he was supposed to raise his hand or not.
Who here would abolish their private health insurance in favor of a government-run plan? Yeah. All right. Christian Gillibrand, Senator Gillibrand.
That's the definition of a centrist right there. And what's up with him sort of halfway raising his hand? That's like in phys ed when the teacher is divvying up the class and you want to be on a team with your friend. He was also slow to raise his hand later when the moderators asked whose health care plans would cover undocumented immigrants, prompting some confusion.
Raise your hand if your government plan would provide coverage for undocumented immigrants. Vice President Biden, I believe you said that your health care plan would not cover undocumented immigrants. Could you explain your position?
I'm sorry, I beg your pardon.
I believe at the show of hands, you did not raise your hand. Did you raise your hand?
No, I did. I,
okay, here, sorry.
Did you raise your hand? If I had the right answer, I did. What was your answer? Or what was the question? Then the issue of age came up when California Congressman Eric Swalwell took a dig at Biden using an old quote from Biden himself.
I was 6 years old when a presidential candidate came to the California Democratic Convention and said, it's time to pass the torch to a new generation of Americans. That candidate was then Senator Joe Biden. Joe Biden was right when he said it was time to pass the torch to a new generation of Americans 32 years ago. He's still right today. If we're going to solve the issues of automation, pass the torch.
Damn, you're bringing a Biden quote to take down Biden? Come on! If anyone's going to take down Joe Biden with a Joe Biden quote, it's Joe Biden. Also, look at that smile. Joe Biden uses his teeth the way Wonder Woman uses her bracelets. That zinger just bounced right off that pearly white wall. And by the way, just in case you were wondering after last night's debate, another candidate got a chance to bust out some Spanish again, and it was South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg.
I want to say hello and good evening, buenas noches to Mayor Buttigieg.
Buenas noches, gracias de invitarnos.
Gusto en verlo, caballero.
When he did that, NBC took a live shot of Cory Booker at home. Now, the question of health care was obviously a hot topic, as were many questions, which led to a lot of over-talking and yelling at the beginning.
On
the biggest
issue,
part of this debate that we're missing
is how this affects
Senator Harris, I'm so sorry.
We ought to contribute to the generational conversation.
It's part of Joe's generation.
I'm all for
part of Joe's generation. Let me respond.
Good Lord, sounds like the audience at a cockfight. And I'm sorry, you guys think you can win a scream fight with Bernie Sanders? You're bringing a kazoo to a bullhorn fight. They didn't even turn on Bernie's mic because it would blow out the speakers. But then Harris jumped in with a line that got raucous applause and quieted everyone else down.
Senator Harris.
You can't afford to wait for evolution on these issues.
Okay, guys, you know what? America does not want to witness a food fight. They want to know how we're going to put food on their table. Yes.
Damn. Look at how sheepish everyone was after she said she embarrassed them so badly, John Hickenlooper had to go stand in the corner. Then there were the lesser-known candidates like former tech executive Andrew Yang. All right, Andrew, you haven't gotten a lot of coverage. You need a breakthrough. You got to nail it. This is your big moment, so I'm sure you were ready.
Mr. Yang, your signature policy is to give every adult in the United States $1,000 a month, no questions asked.
That's right.
I think that's like $3.2 trillion a year. How would you do that?
Sorry?
Just forget it. Forget it. Move on. How are you not ready? Like a backup on Golden State who finally gets put in the game and then just chucks the ball into the stands the minute he gets it. But then one of the biggest moments of the debate came when Harris confronted Biden about his record on race and recent comments about working with segregationist senators.
We have also heard, and I'm going to now direct this at Vice President Biden, I do not believe you are a racist. And I agree with you when you commit yourself to the importance of finding common ground. But I also believe, and it's personal, and it was hurtful, to hear you talk about the reputations of two United States senators who built their reputations and career on the segregation of race in this country. It cannot be an intellectual debate among Democrats. We have to take it seriously. We have to act swiftly. As Attorney General of California, I was very proud to put in place a requirement that all my special agents would wear body cameras and keep those cameras on.
Senator Harris, thank you. Vice President Biden, you have been invoked. We are going to give you a chance to respond.
Even his teeth couldn't save him from that one. And it was clear everyone wanted a shot at Biden tonight. Bennett also went after Biden for previous comments he's made, suggesting he'll be able to work with Republicans after Trump leaves office and his record of compromising with Republicans.
Chuck,
thank you,
the
Mr.
problem with what
go
the
ahead,
Vice President...
No, what, yeah, 30 seconds. Go ahead.
We sometimes you do have to beat him, but the deal that he talked about with Mitch McConnell was a complete victory for the Tea Party. That deal extended almost all those Bush tax cuts permanently and put in place the mindless cuts that we still are dealing with today that are called the sequester. That was a great deal for Mitch McConnell. It was a terrible deal for America.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Senator Bennett.
Man, who didn't get a crack at Biden during this debate? I'm surprised one of the moderators didn't just go, hey, man, you were great in Gran Torino. At some point, they just started inviting random audience members up on stage to slam them. Yeah, I just want to say I'm more of a bus guy, and I think Amtrak sucks ass. Team Greyhound! And Biden seemed kind of defeated by all the attacks because at one point he just said he was out of time.
I'm the guy that extended the Voting Rights Act for 25 years. We got to the place where we got 98 out of 98 votes in the United States Senate doing it. I've also argued very strongly that we, in fact, deal with the notion of denying people access to the ballot box. I agree that everybody, once they, in fact, they should... Anyway, my time's up. I'm sorry.
Man, you know it's bad when you're cutting yourself off. Also, when everyone's saying you might be too old to be president, don't say, my time's up. That's like if Buttigieg says, it looks like I'm running short. And once again, of course... While he was at the G20 summit meeting with world leaders, Trump could not help but comment on the debate. Trump reportedly told German Chancellor Angela Merkel he just passed the TV and saw the debate, adding, you know there's a debate going on. I'd rather be here spending time with you than watching the debate. No one believes that. There's nothing Trump would rather be doing than watching the debate and tweeting dumb insults. He's probably shouting them out in the middle of meetings involuntarily. So anyway, we'd like to cut tariffs on German cars by Sleepy Joe! Of course, another huge issue in this campaign, one that deserves way more time and attention than it's been getting, is the climate crisis. A lot of the candidates have detailed plans to deal with this crisis. And then there's Hickenlooper, a geologist, who found a way to mention that he was a scientist not once, but twice.
If you look at the Green New Deal, which I admire the sense of urgency and how important it is to do climate change, I'm a scientist. I share the sense of urgency. I'm a scientist.
All right, man, if you have to say I'm a scientist once, I'm on board. But if you say it twice, I'm skeptical. Your doctor doesn't come into the exam room and say, I'm a doctor. Did you know I'm a doctor? Say it once and move on. If I'm at a dinner party and someone says I'm a scientist two times, I'm faking an illness and getting the hell out of there. Then later, moderator Chuck Todd attempted to get an answer from the candidates on the first issue they would tackle as president, while some of them bent the rules by listing multiple issues or giving long answers. I'm not sure Biden even understood the rules.
The first thing I would do is make sure that we defeat Donald Trump, period.
Wait, the first thing you do after you beat Donald Trump is beat Donald Trump? When I'm president, we'll hold a presidential election every single day. I'll beat Donald Trump on Monday. I'm gonna beat him again on Tuesday. And then when Wednesday rolls around, my time's up. Now, then, there was Marianne Williamson, who rose up out of a lake under a full moon to be at the debate. Williamson has been referred to as Oprah's spiritual advisor, and when she was asked what nation she would repair America's relationship with, her answer was a little strange.
Well, one of my first phone calls would be to call the European leaders and say, we're back!
All right, that's... Even if you're a friend, you don't want to hear that. It's like when your in-laws come in town and stay at your place, that's the first thing they say when they walk through the door. We're back! And we will be moving some furniture around. Williamson didn't get a lot of time tonight, and she's probably not going to be in the race for very long, but we will always have her closing statement from tonight, which was less of a statement and more of a reading from a one-person show titled When You Harness Love, Love Will Win.
I have an idea about Donald Trump. Donald Trump is not going to be beaten just by insider politics talk. He's not going to be beaten just by somebody who has plans. He's going to be beaten by somebody who has an idea what this man has done. This man has reached into the psyche of the American people, and he has harnessed fear for political purposes. So, Mr. President, if you're listening, I want you to hear me, please. You have harnessed fear for political purposes, and only love can cast that out. So I, sir, I have a feeling you know what you're doing. I'm going to harness love for political purposes. I will meet you on that field, and, sir, love will win.
The four people who did not qualify for these debates watched that and thought, what? Tonight's debate seemed a lot feistier and more contentious than the first night, but in both cases, the debates were issue-oriented and policy-heavy. If Trump were watching, I can only imagine that trying to follow all the specific policy details left him feeling...
exhausted.
This has been A Closer Look.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.